I want to share with you a psalm that King David wrote, and it's a particularly, which I love, and a particularly good version in the Passion Bible, about repentance and confession. Now, everybody in this room has sinned to a lesser or greater degree. So everybody in this room has regrets to a lesser or greater degree. I have great regrets, but I also have a great God. And David, let me explain about David, because not everybody will know. King David is the same David that killed Goliath when he was a shepherd boy. And when he became king, one day he was on he was restless, probably a hot night, and he got up and went out to his balcony, and in another house he saw a very, very beautiful woman bathing, and he lusted after her and wanted her. So because he was a man of power and of authority, he was able to send for her, which he did. And he then slept with her, and she became pregnant. Well, this was a big problem for him, so he came up with a plan. And his plan was that he would get her husband back from the war, where he was fighting as a soldier, and her husband would sleep with her, and then that would be sorted. But he hadn't taken into account that her husband, or her name was Bathsheba, and her husband's name was Uriah. But David hadn't taken into account that he was a man of great integrity and honour. And when he came back, he wouldn't sleep with his wife because he felt, how can I have all those home comforts when my men are out in the war, dying and fighting? So David said to him, you know, why didn't you sleep with your wife? And he said, because I didn't feel that was right when the men were fighting. So David had to think of another plan. So he thought, right, I'll get him drunk. So he has an evening and they're drinking. But still, Uriah doesn't sleep with his wife. And David obviously wasn't thinking of Bathsheba, because what woman wants a drunken man making love to her? But even in his drunkenness, it showed how deep his honor and integrity was, because he wouldn't sleep with her. So David has to come up with another plan, and this time he decides, I'll send him to the front line where he'll get killed. And that's exactly what happens. So then Bathsheba has the baby, and a good year passes with David carrying this guilty secret. And the baby dies because of his sin. But then on the scene comes his friend Nathan, a prophet. Now Nathan is a sort of friend that we all need. We need friends who are honest with us and tell us straight how it is. Of course we need friends to pray with us and to sympathize with us, but we also need friends to put us straight. And the thing is, we can sometimes hide behind prayer, because it gets us out of a difficult conversation with people. Oh, I'll pray about it, or that will be enough. But you need to be honest with people. And then David realizes. Nathan tells him in the form of a story, which you can read in Samuel 2:11, I think. David realizes what he's done, and he's really, really sorry. He realizes how awful it is, and this is why he's written this psalm, and I love this psalm. This psalm, in the Passion Bible, it says, pardon and purity. It's a fountain of forgiveness, a fountain that just keeps gushing. I know your abundant love is enough to wash away my guilt, because your compassion is so great. Take away this shameful guilt of sin. Forgive the full extent of my rebellious ways and erase this deep stain on my conscience, for I am so ashamed. I feel such pain and anguish within me. I can't get away from the sting of my sin against you, Lord. Everything I did right in front of you, for you saw it all. Against you and you above all have I sinned. Everything you say to me is infallibly true, and your judgment conquers me. Lord, I have been a sinner from birth, from the moment my mother conceived me. I know that you delight to set your truth deep in my spirit. So come into the hidden places of my heart and teach me wisdom. Purify my conscience. Make this leper clean again. Wash me in your love until I am pure in heart. Satisfy me in your sweetness, and my song of joy will return. The places within me you have crushed will rejoice in your healing touch. The Lord doesn't crush us in the way that the enemy crushes us. He disciplines us, and that can feel like we're being crushed, but it's for our own good. And I know I've been disciplined a lot by the Lord, but it's brought me to a better place. Hide my sins from your face and erase all my guilt by your saving grace. Create in me a new clean heart within me. Fill me with pure thoughts and holy desires, ready to please you. May you never reject me. May you never take from me your sacred spirit. Let my passion for life be restored, tasting joy in every breakthrough you bring to me. Breakthrough is the title of this year's Revive, and I'm praying that every one of us will receive a breakthrough. Hold me close to you with a willing spirit that obeys whatever you say, whether we like it or not. Then I can show to other guilty ones how loving and merciful you are. That's what I really want to do. I want to show other people the way through my own, and God will use all the junk in your life, all the foolishness, all the wrong decisions, all the sin. He uses everything. They will find their way back home to you. That's so good. They will find their way back home to you. You can help people find their way back home, knowing that you will forgive them. Oh God, my saving God, deliver me fully from every sin, even the sin that brought blood guilt. Then my heart will once again be thrilled to sing the passionate songs of joy and deliverance. Lord God, unlock my heart, unlock my lips, and I will overcome with joyous praise. For the source of your pleasure is not in my performance or the sacrifices I might offer to you. The fountain of your pleasure is found in the sacrifice of my shattered heart before you. You will not despise my tenderness as I humbly bow down at your feet. Because you favor Zion and do what is good for her. Be the protecting wall around Jerusalem. And when we are fully restored, you will rejoice and take delight in every offering of our lives as we bring our sacrifices of righteousness before you in love. That is so encouraging. And God can use every one of us and all the junk as well.
So Caroline didn't know I was speaking this morning, and so she didn't know what I was talking about. But if I could have found a verse or a chapter in the Bible that would have summed what I'm going to say up, then that would have been it. So God is good. I'm just going to pray. Father, I want to thank you for what you've done in my life. And I want to thank you for what you're continuing to do. And I just pray that as I share these things that you've been teaching me, I pray that it would be clear and that you would speak to everyone here and just change lives for you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I want to talk about having life to the full. And it's going to be based on this scripture. So John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So that's Jesus speaking. And for me, I think there's a couple of strands that I just want to talk about this morning. And one is living free from sin, and the other is forgiving others, because I think they both those things can stop us living free or living life to the full if we're not doing those things. So first I want to do a demonstration that Viv, a little while ago, led us in an activity. I don't know if you remember, we hammered nails into logs, okay, and that represented the sin, the things that Jesus took on the cross, the things that are in our past. So I just want to do a little demonstration, so I'm going to need some volunteers. Okay, so this one, I want you to think back to that exercise that we did, I don't know, was it a couple of months ago, where we bashed the nails into the logs and we said, you know, this is the sin that Jesus took for me. I want you to think, what have you done since then? What have you done with that? Have you left it at the cross and walked off because it doesn't belong to you anymore? Have you gone back to it, tried to take it off, but actually you know that Jesus took it? So you kind of, you're in a bit of a struggle because you don't want it because you know Jesus took it, but at the same time it still bothers you. Or have you taken off and it was actually really easy to take off and maybe you're carrying it around with you still? If you're carrying it around with you, how does it feel? Is it good? Does it make you feel happy? Are you joyful? Are you free? Are you living life to the full? Do you remember Dave did a talk a little while ago and he had bags, and he was saying that this is what, you know, Jesus wants to take our burdens, and so he left them down, but he kind of kept going back to it. Oh, we want to have a look at it. Oh, you know, it's familiar to us. Because we're used to carrying this stuff around, but isn't what Jesus wants for us. He doesn't want us to carry this burden because he took it. If you're a Christian, why are you a Christian? Is it because, I don't want you to start doubting, but is it because you know that Jesus made a way to go to the Father so you could go to heaven one day when you die? Is it just that? Or is it because Jesus said you could have life to the full? And I think that means now on earth. Steph said yesterday about a quote, something he read in Wild at Heart, the book by John Eldridge. And he said, if Jesus has called us to run this race, wouldn't it be a bit unfair if he made us do it with a broken leg? You know, he wants us to be whole and healed so that we can run properly this race. This is from Colossians 2:14-15. He cancelled out every legal violation we had on our record. Oh, this is Passion Translation again. And the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all. Our sin, our stained soul, he deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse. If we go back, oh, but I did this, I still feel really bad about doing that, I wish I hadn't, we're wasting time and energy, like Debbie trying to get her sin back off this piece of log. It's just not possible. Jesus took it. Why would we waste our time and energy on that? Steph has taught me, I was going to say something, but a lot, in our marriage. One of the most important things is if I do something wrong and say sorry, he never ever brings it back up. In 11 years, he's never said, brought it back up, what I've said sorry for. And that's what Jesus does. That's what God does. You know, we've said sorry, he's forgiven us. Why do we then keep bringing it back up? And I know, I do it too. But we don't have to. And I just want to try and get that message across that it was done once and for all. So if Satan comes accusing and you start to feel guilty again, you just remind him of that scripture. He can come accusing and he can bring condemnation, but only if you let him, because that scripture says that all spiritual authority and power to accuse was defeated. So he can accuse, but you can just kick him down because you're a child of God. If you're struggling with sin and you're, you know, tempted to, maybe you're still living in sin, maybe you're doing something that you know God doesn't want you to do, and it's just a big battle, just know that God always provides a way out. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So this is great news. We are in a battle, but it doesn't have to be a constant daily struggle. We can live victorious over sin. It doesn't have power over us. Okay, now I want to move on to the second strand of living life to the full, which is about forgiving others. I'm going to share testimony in a minute about my journey recently on forgiving others. I just want to check, who believes that what Jesus said and it's written in the Bible is true? Okay. I just wanted to check because there's this verse that I came across. So this is Jesus. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you. So I've read that before and it didn't really have an impact. But just lately when I knew I needed to forgive people and I was reading verses on forgiveness and came across that one, I was like, oh yeah, I really need to do this. You know, Jesus himself demonstrated forgiveness when he was being crucified. And he asked his Father to forgive the people that were crucifying him and said, you know, they don't know what they're doing, forgive them. And I think, you know, Jesus, he didn't deserve to be on that cross. He was sinless. But we do have sin and we don't deserve the forgiveness that he gives us. So we definitely should be able to forgive others. Romans 12:21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So if we have unforgiveness, chances are we're feeling angry, we maybe hate someone, we're getting bitter, tormented. That's probably what's just building on evil onto the offense that's already been caused. So it's building on evil on evil on evil. But if we're supposed to have life to the full, we need to overcome that evil with good by forgiving people. So how do you know if you need to forgive someone? Maybe you remember something and if you remember it, it still causes pain. Maybe you talk about it a lot. Maybe you tell everyone, oh, this person did this, I can't believe they did that. And I don't mean to play it down because I've had to forgive people for incredibly painful things and I know that it hurts. I don't mean to play it down. If someone hurts us and we hold on to that through unforgiveness, we give them the right to keep hurting us over and over. But wasn't it enough what they did? That was enough. So forgive them for that, release them, and they have
no more authority to keep hurting us. Can you play the clip now of Lion King, please? I watched The Lion King on the plane on the way home from America, and it inspired me. If you run away from your hurt and pain, if you're carrying it with you, it's going to show its ugly face somewhere down the line. Maybe you react badly to people. Maybe even people that are trying to care for you. Maybe you speak horribly to people. I don't know. It can come out in all sorts of ways, but I guarantee it will come out. It will affect your life. So, as I said, I recently had to forgive some people to get freedom, and I knew it wasn't right to hold on to it. And a friend said to me, what she does when she needs to forgive is she revisits the situation. She asks the Holy Spirit to come in, and then in the moment where she feels an extra dose of God's love, she knows that's the time that true forgiveness will happen. So I thought that was interesting. The only thing was I was too scared to revisit the situations because I was scared of how painful that would be. And, you know, what if God doesn't meet me, and what if he doesn't comfort me, and I just end up in this turmoil of just remembering these situations again. And then I remembered that God is a good father. And as Viv said earlier, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. So, this is what I did. First, I set aside some time, a whole day, just me and God. I read the Bible, I did some colouring, and whatever, just chatted with him, worshipped. And in that time, I just felt him say, this is the time, I'm with you, let's do it. So I revisited those situations. I'm not going to go into detail. They were incredibly painful, and I just had to trust that he was going to come through for me in this moment of remembering them. He really did, because in that moment, so I asked the Holy Spirit, come in, help me do this. Suddenly, the people that had offended me, or that had offended others, had hurt others, and therefore I was carrying that hurt as well. Somehow God made me see how he feels about them. And it was a God moment. I couldn't have done this. He showed me his heart for those people. I could feel his sadness over their brokenness. Because only someone who's hurt and broken and doesn't know the love of Jesus could possibly do those things that I was having to forgive them for. And it actually made me feel sad for them. And I ended up forgiving them and praying for them that God would reveal himself to them and that they would be blessed by him, because I just was desperate for them to know him and know his love. And that's how I know that that was genuine forgiveness, because I didn't conjure that up. You can't conjure up loving someone that you hate. So God did that, and now I know that I've genuinely forgiven those people and that he has brought healing to those wounds. And another way I know that is because I still remember what happened. It's not been deleted, but the pain isn't there anymore. And in fact, the memory is a bit fuzzy. I don't remember it in detail, and I don't need to anymore. It's done. If we want to live free, we need to surrender to him. And we sung that song earlier, didn't we? And it's just like, we give you everything. That's what that means. I give you everything. My whole life belongs to you. And I know that means living free, because that is where I feel I'm at. I feel like in surrendering my life to God every day, whether I say it or not, my heart is surrender to him. My desire is to honor God every day, and I know that he's blessing my life because of that, and causing me to live free because of that. Do you remember the mountain top talk, the mountain walk talk that I did, and after a holiday in France, and how I was scared at the top of this mountain? I say scared, I was absolutely terrified and couldn't move. I was huddled in a ball crying, okay, and the only way I moved was because God gave me the strength. I literally called on him, and obviously I had to take the first step, but after that it was just like step, 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 God, come on, help me, help me, help me. And he did, and loads of people after that came up and said to me, oh, that, you know, I couldn't have done that. It's like, well, you would have stayed there and died then, because that was the only other option. Okay? The only way I did it is because God gave me strength. And I am no more special than any one of you. What I'm saying is that these things I'm telling you, you can have too. And that's why I asked to share this morning, because this isn't just for me. That moment with God wasn't just for me. You guys can have it too. His blessings are so great when we live surrendered to him. And it doesn't mean that life is going to be perfect. But it does mean that wherever we're at, in whatever situation we face, we can rest in him. And we just know that he's got it. Whatever is happening, if it's bad, somehow he will turn it around for good. And if we believe in him and believe that, there is real rest in that moment. So I read this in Psalm 126 the other day. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. And I want people to see in our lives that God has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Our mission is to tell people about Jesus, to tell them that he made a way to the Father so that we could have life to the full. And that can't just be words. We are children of God. We need to be living that. They need to see that we are living life to the full. I said in a previous message a few weeks back about intimacy with God and having being in his presence and living life from that moment. And I genuinely believe that, you know, this is what I've seen over the months, that as I have those moments every day with God, he's given me everything I need. And I've said, to live life to the full, we need God's presence like we need oxygen. I literally feel like if I don't have that time with God, if I can't feel his presence, I literally feel like I can't breathe. And I think it's because he's become my everything. And he helps me in every situation. And as I said, he can do the same for you too. I'm going to read a quote from this book. I'm reading Ecclesia Rising, which is Ian and Gunilla's book. They didn't write it. It's their book. Liz Wright wrote it. She runs a church in Guildford. The more consciously we abide in him, the more powerful we become, because we bring an increasing measure of the presence of God everywhere we go. We begin to see the blood of Jesus working on our behalf and to live the life that overcomes all opposition. We discover that nothing is impossible for God. His arm is never too short to save and completely transform any situation given to him. We see that his whole heart is to restore a lost and broken planet in partnership with those he has already brought home into the safety of his care. It is his desire to fulfill all of our needs through his riches in glory, increasing the testimony of his great love and faithfulness as he becomes our source. So will you pursue him so you can have life to the full and lead others to do the same? I just want to end on a quick demonstration. I just need two volunteers. Okay, what I'm trying to show is that if you want to grab a hold of life and live it to the full, you're going to need both hands. So one hand's going to have to let go of the past. Okay. We're going to just do 10 minutes of group discussions. So I'm going to give you guys some questions, and I just want you to just discuss in your groups, and it's going to be obviously based on the things that I've just spoken about. So, does anyone need to rearrange? Are you happy where you are? Okay. All right, what do you think Jesus meant when he said, have life to the full, and what hinders us from living this way? It could be some of the things I've talked about, it could be other things, so just chat amongst yourselves. Okay, next question. This is the verse from Colossians. So if you discuss it, think about if we truly understood this verse, how different would our lives be? And in what ways do we give Satan back authority over our lives? So discuss. We've got a few more and we're running out of time. What is something you need to change so that you can really live life to the full? So now we're putting it into practice. Have something in your mind that you can leave here with that is practical, that you can, so that you can live life to the full. You might not want to say it out loud, it might be personal, but at least take this moment to decide in your mind what you need to do to go forward and live life to the full from now. We're going to move on to forgiving others. So, this is the verse that we discussed earlier, and I want you to have a think and chat about what does this really mean for our lives. So the part, if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father won't forgive you your sins. So discuss what that really means for our lives. Okay, we're going to move on. We've got two questions to go, so we're nearly there. What does it mean to surrender to God and abide in him? What is it? How do you do that? What does it mean in your life? This is the last one. Okay. Sometimes, when we need to forgive someone, we might need to talk with someone about it. Sometimes it is more helpful to literally just have it with you and God. So I'm not saying never talk about it, but this morning it may not be helpful to share details in a group like this. But I want you to have a think about if there is someone or some people you need to forgive, perhaps discuss something that you are, a step that you might take to working towards forgiving those people. All right. Let's finish up. I'm just going to finish by praying. And then, as usual, if you want someone to pray with you, or if you want to arrange for to meet up with people and pray with them, please do that. Let's not leave here the same, because that's the whole point of meeting Jesus, isn't it? That we change. So, Lord, I thank you again for what you've done in my life. And I just pray that as we leave here that you would continue to work in us, that you would continue to bring healing to us and continue to make us whole so that we can really live life to the full. And Lord, we just thank you for Revive that's coming up and the topic of breakthrough. And for those of us that are going, Lord, we ask that you start to prepare us now, that would be the week of real breakthrough, that we would not leave that place the same. And for anyone who's not going, Lord, I just pray that you'd bless them and meet with them wherever they're at and whatever they're doing. And I pray that you'd bless each of us as we leave from here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.